Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another Brad and Body Podcast. Hello, my friend Botond. How are you?
I'm extremely well. I'm really thrilled. I've stopped looking out that feeble window. There's nothing out there. So,
mine's had the blinds closed.
Just like the NBL. Anyway, yeah.
Let's just stay there for a second. It is shattering, isn't it? I don't blame the NBL. I don't blame Basketball Australia. I understand why it's got to happen. It's just such a shame, you know, like they don't have enough time to create it. They've got to set the stadiums in. They've got to book clubs. We've got to book fly, all of that stuff. But it was such a momentum. No, you know, racing on, no major sport on, everything. It was just, I'm sure the NBL would be shattered. They couldn't have played as well, but that's life, isn't it? We've made the Olympics. That's the good thing.
That is a good thing. So, yeah, let's move on. We had plenty of good WNBL games to fill the breach.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We do. There were some rippers there. Well, let's stay right on the WNBL. What was your outlook? To me, I thought there were so many good matches on the weekend. The one I loved the most was South Eye Perth, obviously, 2-point game. Watched a bit of that. And geez, they were good, mate. What do you think?
I thought Perth's first quarter was sensational. And then the zone that Southside played after that really, it showed that, well, you know what? You know, you're a coach. And when you go out and the game
will show you. How did you know I was a coach? Did you hear about that one time before, did you?
Yeah, Brian Gorgian mentioned it.
No, he didn't. No. I did, but keep going.
But seriously, you know that the game will always show you what you didn't spend enough time on at practice.
Yes, good call.
And that zone defense showed that Perth's zone offense is a little bit of a dud, and it got them right back in. They were 20 down at halftime. They got them right back into the game. So there's some work for Perth, because I think they were undefeated going into that, and then they lost again at home to Townsville later in the round. So
here's what I love, and I don't know if you know this stat, to even add weight to what you're saying, the fast break points for Perth were 23-4.
Yeah.
Right. So that change up of games. And you know, I've got a massive issue at the moment with coaches that can't coach in game. Right. I'm really struggling with these, not so much NBL and WNBL, I'll be honest with you, much of the younger age, but I watch these guys and they're great with their X's and O's and everything. But when it comes to someone changing something in the game, or you need to change something, it's just not happening, because they're just like, oh, what's going on? And that's what I love. I love watching coaches go head to head.
Yeah. Well, Darryl Pearce, you know, the Iceman, the great Hall of Famer, he says there's a lot too many what he calls book coaches.
Yep, robots. I call them robots. Same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then when suddenly you throw in a spanner in the works, they just can't react. And I think that's the biggest part of coaching.
I watch my kids play. I watch other teams play, and I'm always watching basketball. And I see, you know, one team will go into a press, and it will either be the team that's pressing, the ball's getting to the middle or down the sideline, and it's like, every time you've run that press, it's got to that position, they turn around and they get a layup on you. Take that away. Tell that guy, you're the next one to the defender's right. Yeah. That's your responsibility. Take it away, or left, or whatever it may be. And now let's see if they've got a counter to that. And then you take that. And I just like shake my head. Or the other option is, why isn't that offensive team getting the ball to that point? Because that's what they're trying to do.
Yes.
So I hear you. I love that one, though. A book coach. That's a very good one. I'll write that up. Anyway, let's staying on that Southside Perth game. Look, great. Five ladies in double figures for Southside. You know, there's still a bit of my favorite there. Lauren, still turning back the clock, mate. 15-9 in 24
That was
minutes.
Her best game, mate. That was her best game. She struggled
still,
a bit.
Still, but she has. I mean, she's, you know, come off a major injury, let's not forget, as well. And a major injury on the back of a lot of games, World Cup in Sydney, you know, all of those things. So great to see her going. Bet Cole was Bet Cole, as she normally is. Mercedes was great. But also, shout out to a couple of Perth players. I thought they played really well. Natalie Maley, 14 and 15, doing what she does. Emily Potter, 22 and 13.
Yeah, I actually liked the last bit of play. You know, we're going to talk about moment of the round.
Yeah.
And I'm really struggling to actually come down to just one moment, because in the end of that game, Bet Cole hits some big three that puts Southside in front after they've trailed pretty much the whole way.
Don't spoil it.
What do you mean?
You just said moment of the round.
This is this isn't my moment of the round, but it was a contender.
Don't spoil my player of the round.
Harry McDonald goes down the four and drives, and Mercedes Russell rejects the shot. So that was huge, another huge play. McDonald runs the ball down, gets another shot off. It's missed. Potter gets the rebound, takes a shot, misses, and then McDonald gets another shot at it. So that thrilling finish was really one of my moments of the round. But then there was the we fast forward to the Melbourne Canberra game, and you got Jade Melbourne hitting a massive three, late in regulation, and then Jordan Canada comes down and erases it with a three of her own. Then Melbourne goes to the foul line, as in Jade Melbourne, makes two free throws, and showing such great poise, Jordan Canada just draws the defenders to herself and hands the ball with a beautiful little pass to Keely Froling to lay it in, and we've got overtime. Although they still had one more play, Canberra, which they ran perfectly, but the shot was missed on an inbounds pass. So that again, there were some great moments there.
There was. We'll stay on this game. I mean, I did enjoy it. You know, Melbourne, I thought, you know, they are a very good team, and I got to watch them really good when they punished Sydney. They look great. I don't know who's going to beat them, buddy.
They've been finding ways to win. But in that game, Sarah Blitzarves had 7 points in the first quarter, finished with seven. Tara Reid had probably her worst game of the season. So,
but they're still winning it on that. That's what I'm saying. Like you look at
someone steps up. Someone
steps Hillman up had 33 game. And 13. Keely Froling, like you said, Keely's one of those great girls where she just knows where to be at the right time. She'll always rebound for you. She got 14 rebounds. She'll get that every game, right? That's her. But she's just got a knack of being in the right position. But Melbourne, there is no what did you say? A book coach? There's no book coach in Melbourne. Chris Lucas is one of our favourites, as you know.
Yeah.
And then of course Christy Harrow is an assistant who's as good, if not as better than most head coaches.
Yeah, how about this though, Brad? This is the fact that intrigues me the most about this competition. That is the unbeaten top team playing the bottom team, which has not won a game,
and they win
it in overtime. That says volumes for the standard of the basketball that we're watching.
Agreed, I agree. And I'll also say, it also says volumes for a Melbourne team, because you know I'm a favourite of theirs now, that says, you know, Sarah didn't have the greatest game that she's had, and she's a leader, and that's it. They found a way to win, which a lot of other teams do. But, you know, like you said, you got to give credit to the Capitals. They hadn't and haven't been playing well, but they did what it can. Let's just go to the other game, which shocked me. You and I'm pretty sure we both picked Adelaide, didn't we? Did we pick Townsville?
No, I picked Townsville.
Maybe we did then. I don't know. But no,
I think you did, because you often get them wrong.
Yeah. hello, my wife. I didn't. 23 points at home. No, I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't see that coming either, because like I was going to say before, that Perth had started off with three straight wins at home. And I thought, okay, now we'll find out if you're legit for a playoff position.
Adelaide had beaten
Southside, and I thought, okay, now we'll find out if you're legit. And Townsville's gone in and smacked both of those teams on a doomsday double.
Yeah.
You know, so they won by 23 and by 16. So they won by 39 points over two teams that are thinking that they're contending. So they're back to the drawing board for sure. Mm-hmm. Both of those clubs. Townsville was terrific.
They were. They just keep going, don't they? Do you want to touch on Bendigo, Sydney? I mean,
are you kidding me? Of course I do. That's Bendigo's first win. I know you don't want to touch on it because it's Sydney, but I'm starting to worry a little bit about Sydney because that was the first game of the big three, the big three signings that they got from other clubs. Laura Nicholson, you know, effectively coming home, but she's a championship winner now at Townsville. Kayla George comes in as your MVP of the league, and Tess Madgett comes in as captain of the Opals. So that's three big signings. I did predict Bendigo would win that game. However, when Kelsey Griffin was a game day withdrawal, so Kelsey, who changed that team against Melbourne the week before, wasn't playing. And for them to still win, and handsomely, I think we've got to take note.
I thought they had no hope. When that happened. No, when you take out, you know, Keely, I thought, nah, this is not going to happen. But like you said, give them credit. They won. Sydney. I don't know what they're doing, but they'll be They'll be back.
They'll be around the mark. Yep. Kennedy Kuyama is a very good coach.
It is going to take time. I do feel they're a little bit like a couple of other teams that I've said before as well. You won't see the best of them until January, you know, late January, because they just need time to play. Another game that I thought, you know, would be a little bit closer was Perth Townsville. I thought Perth playing well against Southside. We did say we want to see what happens at those first two games before we comment on the second one.
Yep.
Right. And Townsville, what weekend for them, scored 74 points beating Adelaide, then went to Perth and went whack and scored 92.
Yeah. I had them as my team of the week this week for those two performances. That was some good
deserved.
Ones. Yeah, Bendigo was good. Melbourne was good. Mm. Southside was good. But those two performances on the road, Doomsday Double. Give me your moment of the round.
Well, this is a little bit of a weird one, but my moment is when I've turned on the TV and I see Monique Conti getting the AFL MVP. What do you guys call it?
The Aaron Phillips medal.
Well, I know it's the Aaron Phillips medal, but don't you call it something else from you, Melbourne and Victoria? Anyway, when I looked at that, it actually just warmed my heart for the second basketballer to get that after who it's named after, Aaron Phillips.
No,
right?
I just said that.
No, we're going to call it that way. I know it's not named, but we're calling it that way. It's fine. But I love the fact because, you know, there's another basketballer. And she's like, again, I saw her in Sydney a couple of weeks. She's a little pocket rocket, right? She plays really well. She's got a motor, like man. You. She's got a motor, and I love it. And just to see her there, it just gave me a chill, and it was something. That's a moment that I love watching when someone as high profile as that can go and get that, but then comes back and plays in the WNBL. A huge shout out to Monique and congratulations to her.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree with you.
What's yours?
Yeah. Yep. Mine was Naz Hillman, who's been a very effective player for Melbourne. Nice. She's an undersized five, but to go for 33 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, a couple of steals, she was a huge presence in that victory over Canberra. Again, first beating eighth, amazing stuff.
Beautiful. But, stay here with the WNBL. I got some more things for you
I've got a Nodge Nasty before we leave, because I know you're
I was coming to that after this, but go on. You can go Nodge Nasty first. Thanks. You know, just take over the show as usual.
This is the body and body show, the body and Brad edition.
It's the body and body show.
I'm just going to say that my nasty is actually a good one, because I don't have a lot to say that's positive about the television coverage. Some of it's been of the WNBL. Some of it's been absolutely diabolical, but what I have liked is the commentary. The commentary has been on point.
God.
It gives us information.
Can we run this over twice? I've never heard you say that in a sentence.
Well, you know how it is with the NBL commentary. You're talking about all kinds of ridiculous other things, but beside the game, here we're getting information. So-and-so just got a third foul, you know, that sort of stuff that you want to know. The graphics are good. On the screen, you know who's having timeouts, where the bonus fouls are, all that sort of stuff that's missing from the NBL. So hats off as far as that goes. I'm always happy to give them the accolade when it's deserved, and certainly I thought the coverage on the weekend was pretty good.
I'm going to give my play of the round, but I also just want to give a little bit of a shout out to Kayla George, who, if I'm not mistaken, I think is the WNBL all-time leading rebounder now as well. That's come out this week, so a huge congratulations to her. Yep. Credit where credit's due. But my player of the round, it's something we mentioned earlier, and hit a big-time shot from a big-time player in Bet Cole. Yeah. I was so happy with the way she played. She hit that big shot where it was very close coming down against Perth, and I just was like, yep. When you talk of a player of a round, I'm not looking for someone that's got 40 and 20 all the time. You know, I'm looking for a player where, you know, that when the game's on the line, yeah, give me the ball. That was Bet Cole. So shout out to her.
Yep. I agree.
Right.
It was very
before
good.
We let's, finish WNBL, I'm just give me your tips, all right? Because you're usually pretty bad at these. No, he's not. He's really good. But
I got the
Townsville. I know. Townsville at home against Adelaide. Yes,
Townsville will win that.
Southside at home against Capitals.
Southside will win that. Unfortunately, for Canberra.
I'm going with you, but if it wasn't for last week, I would have went Southside for sure. I thought Capitals did all right, but anyway, we'll
good.
See.
They were good.
Oh, this one's going to be interesting. Adelaide at home after not playing well against Bendigo, who are feeling pretty good about themselves, I reckon.
I think I'm going to go two ways with this. I think at this time it is really important that Kelsey Griffin plays, and if she does, Bendigo wins. Mm. If she doesn't, I think Adelaide wins.
Well, I'm going Adelaide anyway. Melbourne Boomers versus Perth, as good as Perth have been, I think that's going to stop again against Melbourne, who are just steamrolling.
Yeah, I think that might get Perth, Melbourne to their sixth win. Six and zero.
Yes.
Six love. Like a tennis score. Okay. So let's start the NBL part with your Rosen Rattler, because I know you've got an interesting one.
I do. Show. It's come out this week about the All-Star. Okay. So I want to talk about that. So the All-Star Five, right? Yep. So first team All-Star, second team. What I believe is happening now, and it's right new when we're recording this, it's just come out live. The understanding that I've got, instead of it being like a two guard, three forward, or three two guards and two forwards, it's now top five. You can just vote for your top five. So you could have five centers, basically being your All-Star. You could have five guards. You could have five whatever, which will obviously, in my opinion, will be a top heavy in the guard situation with the way this league is. But I'm sitting on the fence here because I can see so many positives of that, because I think you're then going to get the best players will be in the top five, but not necessarily the best players in positions, of course, right? So I'm saying that I'm sitting on the fence and going, I don't mind the change, but I'm also a little bit old school going, I think that might be unfair for a guy like a center who I don't want to use that Alan Williams, big source, because he is quite vocal and someone. But say a guy like, you know, even like a Geordie Hunter or one of these, you know, guys that are quiet, just, you know, set screens, get 10, 15 rebounds a game, but they're not as vocal and as, you know, someone like a Mitch Creek or, you know, a Bryce Cotton, Larry Sobey and these guys, I think it's going to hurt them.
Yeah. That's a good rattler. And if you want my opinion on it, I am completely against doing that. Right. If you want to know who the top five players are in the league, have a look at the MVP voting.
Mm.
That'll give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There they are. They're the top five players in the league. Now, is the NBL All-Star Five the top five players in the league, or should it be an All-Star Five that you would put on the floor, in which case you wouldn't have five guards, you wouldn't have five centers, you'd have two guards, a small forward, a power forward, and a center. And that's my way of thinking. Like I said, if you want to know who the five best players are in the league, just look at 1 to 5 in the MVP voting and you've got it. So I'm against it, but there you go. Let's move on.
Well, I mean, you did start the conversation by saying, if you want to know my opinion, what happens if I would have said no?
It's too late now. Too late now, you're bugging. Now, listen, let me pick you up, because last week you said with this week's show we'll have a mystery guest. Oh. Well, I guess the mystery is that we'll have a guest.
See, I told you it'd be a mystery.
It's a very big mystery that's just been solved halfway through our show. Yeah. All right, let's move on. What
can
we got
I just say?
Yep.
It's been put over to next week.
Okay.
Okay. So the mystery guest that we had all will be revealed within the next week.
I hope.
All right. So we're talking next round now, obviously. Round 8 completed. Round 9 is coming up. Starts this Thursday at Wolfbrook Arena in New Zealand. I'm going to go through the games, buddy. We'll have a quick chat and then you see New Zealand at home versus Adelaide. New Zealand are in trouble. They need some wings. Injury prone. Of course, the biggest one was Will McDowell-White out now for with that. Was it a stress fracture or tibia? And his tibia broken, subfractured. Yeah, so big loss. What's your thoughts?
Well, now that you remind me of that, I actually had forgotten that. I'm starting to lean toward Adelaide, maybe, that they can get that. I think got them already one time.
The worst thing that happened to Adelaide is they didn't get to play last round after what they've been doing. Right, yeah. They're feeling good about themselves. You could probably say the same about Perth as well. But anyway, I am going to go with New Zealand, and this could be my last time. I love Modi. I love what he brings. I think he is a fantastic coach, and they are better. And I don't care who they've got out, right? I have said all along, by the way, I don't like the 2-point guards playing together.
Yeah.
You know, I've said that. They're both fantastic players. I just don't see how they play together. What I do see is with one being out now, the other lifts, right? So that can always happen. So to me, New Zealand will win that, but it'll be a great one. They've just got to really make sure they bang bodies with Isaac Humphries and just don't let DJ get off, mate. How many shots? Like, the guy's getting too many shots. Why? Just front him. Don't let him touch the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So you're going Adelaide. Cairns at home versus Brisbane. This would be another tough one. And remembering the last time they played.
Aaron Baines will get a very good welcome, but from up there.
He
will get a good welcome.
Yep.
Seriously, but that's a really interesting game. Brisbane, the way they've dropped the last couple, I think they have to win this game just about.
I'm totally, but I'm so sitting on the fence with this one because Cairns are just one of those teams. I love what Bull Quayle is giving them. He's their MVP by far in this team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love what he's giving them. So, look, I'm favouring Brisbane because I just think they're going to need it more, and I'm with you. All right, so now on
this
Friday
is the
night,
big game.
Perth versus Sydney.
One of these teams is a fraud.
Okay.
And we're going to find out which one.
Right now, I'm going to sit on here and say, I think it's way too early to call a Sydney a fraud. I know you were not happy with them the way they played in Sydney, but I have watched them play a lot. I always said I think they'll be better in January, but I could understand why you're saying that about Perth because I think they're just living on Bryce Cotton's points at the moment. I don't think their basketball has been good enough.
And they have been a little bit fortunate in some of the games they've played.
Like beating
Melbourne, that's always a good thing. But when three of Melbourne's starters are gone inside a quarter, and then you still only win in overtime.
And you got to you win in overtime from a step back three that was wow, from a foul that wasn't called, and they've come out and said that. You know what I mean? Like it was a lot of luck that goes in that. But you got to be lucky. I get it.
I mean. I'm not sure that they're not a fraud, and I'm not convinced that Sydney's not.
Well, I like what you said, but who are you going for?
I think I'm going to go with Sydney.
Yeah, I'm going Sydney because they've owned Perth lately. They really have. But five-game winning streak for Perth. We'll see how they go. Saturday night, we start with South East Melbourne Phoenix versus New Zealand. Now, you speak of fraud. This is me for the Phoenix.
Yes, I'm with you on that too. Yep. I think we should start up our own fraud squad.
Yes.
A group of teams.
Do we have to have two guards, a three man and two centers, or can we just have whoever we want?
Whoever you want for this. Look, I think South East Melbourne absolutely has to win this game. And if they don't, then it's going to be hard to sort of take them seriously from this point forward.
Yep, I'm with you.
I'm going to go with them because they're at home. They have beaten New Zealand previously at home here in the same venue. That's when they were, I think, 26 up. New Zealand got it down to a last couple of last shot or something. But now, without Will McDowell White, South East Melbourne must win this game.
Yeah, I'm with you. If they don't win, I don't know what more you can do to that team. You've had a week off. I even saw Source on one of the NBL shows saying how they sucked. You know, Creaky will be hating the way they're playing. Yep. If that's not motivation enough to beat a New Zealand that's played 2 days before, got people down and out, if you can't hit them with a cricket bat, you're never going to be right. That's how I feel. Tasmania at home versus Adelaide. Oh, Adelaide didn't play well against Tassie, but I'm going Tassie at home. All right, let's go over to Sunday. Melbourne United versus Cairns Taipans.
I think Melbourne have been playing great, and I'm going to predict that they will win this game. However, I would put the proviso on that I would not at least be the least bit surprised if Cairns did win this because Melbourne has done some amazing things with down players. And, you know, maybe the week's break might have helped them. And if it has, but then it also could have been a chance to exhale and just go, phew, you know, haven't we been doing well? And that's the moment you get punched in the face.
So there's two things I'm with you on this. I think Melbourne United, they needed to keep playing. And I think the fact that Cairns get a game before they see them will actually help Cairns, right? They'll get those legs under them. I still will not go against Melbourne just the way they're playing and the fact that they're finding ways to win. But I think it will be a very close and good game. To round out Sunday, two very interesting teams at the moment. Brisbane, obviously, like you said, they just have to win. So it'll be interesting to see what they do a couple of nights before. But Illawarra coming off the back of their new coach, Justin Tatum, being 1-0 and 100% in the NBL.
Yeah, that's
a pretty good record. He hasn't lost the game.
I think he wants to step down now.
Who you got? Brisbane at home?
Hard. Mm. I don't mean to be soft here, but I would like to see the Cairns-Brisbane game.
No.
Okay, all right. Well, in that case.
You can't.
All right, Illawarra wins.
Stop sitting. Wow. Yeah, I'm going Brisbane. All right. Can I also, before we end up here, a huge shout out to Damian Martin. A huge congratulations. He is about to get his uniform hung to the rafters in in Perth. I don't know when it's happening. It'll be next year sometime, probably late Jan, early Feb or whatever. A huge congratulations to him. Of course, he's a Sydney boy, loves his New South Wales Blues state of origin team, but he's Perth at heart at the moment. And what a great guy. Probably one of not many players, if you know, I was to think of players that everyone loves. Like, you know, you'll get people that just, they don't like them because they're too good. Andrew Gaze is one that everyone loves. Bryce Cotton is one that everyone loves, right? And then you put Damian Martin, Leroy Loggins, I'd probably say yes, but I know even in Sydney sometimes they just hated him because he just destroyed you. They respected him. Yeah, that's the difference. Where then you get guys, I mean, you know, like who loved it and just wanted to be hated, you know, because that's the way they played. So a huge shout out to Damian Martin. What a great career.
Agree with you. And had a recent quiz at my website.
Oh, my goodness, Boddy. They were hard, man.
They were very hard questions. Yes. They were very hard questions. And, you know, if you're coming into the big league, you better be able to play big time. Mate. They were tough questions. But there was one question, and that was who was the only player to win the best defensive player and also have a 40-point game. I reckon that's the one that stumped most people, but that was Ray Wood, who won the best defensive twice and also had a 41-point game in the, you know. I got a lot of people thinking it was Terry Dozier or Darnell Mee, and I would say, and I think Damian Martin would agree, that if anyone had said him, they probably needed to be institutionalized.
Yeah. So let me just say, BOTINAGY, BottyNodge.com, absolute legend blogger. It is up and you've got to check it out. It's a great Aussie quiz. But not only did he ask him, he then answered him the next day. But the first question is, what is the highest score by an individual in an NBL 40-minute game? And as soon as he wrote that, I knew it wasn't Chris Golding because I knew Boddy would not make it that easy, right? So I'm thinking to myself, right, Boddy's always here saying it was 40 minutes before the 48-minute era, and he stamps on about it. So I knew there is no way it's anyone that I know, right? Because I'm going back, did Al Green play 40 minutes? When did Leroy finish? I'm sure Drewy only played in 48-minute era.
Yeah,
so I'm thinking, right, you're up. So firstly, when did the 40-minute era stop and when did the 48 start and who was that person?
Okay, when the league started in 79, they were playing 40 minutes. So 79.
And that was 20-minute halves, correct?
Yes.
That was yep.
And then it went 79, 80, 81, 82, 83. 5 years we had of 40-minute games. 1984 was the introduction of the 48-minute game, 6 fouls. 3-point line.
Isn't that interesting? Because I first came to the NBL, when I say that as a supporter and loving it, in 85 when the Supersonics came in, right? So I think they were already in there, but that's when the new ownership group took over and I was part of the Comets playing juniors and stuff like that. Right. So that's interesting when you say 85, but I knew it was someone there. So who was it?
It was Reg Biddings, who played for the Forestville Eagles in 1981, got 63 against the Bankstown Bruins, who were part of it. Yeah, and no 3-point line.
Cliffy Martin.
No 3-point line.
Yeah, wow. So just out of curiosity, do you watch the game?
Oh, no, it was in Sydney and there wasn't the sort of television coverage.
I'd love to know how many of those would have been threes, like around that. Would that mean a 70-point game?
Yeah. Oh, yes, it would easily he could easily have added 10 more points. Absolutely, he could have.
So that means 10 more points is 10 more threes he would have hit.
Yeah,
10 threes.
Yeah.
Wow. In a 60-point game, you would have hit 10 threes, even more. You're right. Yeah. Oh, wow. Brilliant. Boddy, we're done, mate.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for a good week. We've got
mystery
everything.
Mystery guest next week.
Mystery guest, we hope.
Appear.
We hope so.
To everyone. I guess no introduction because they're
to
not
everyone,
here.
Thank God the NBL is back. The WNBL is continuing on. Everyone have a fantastic week. Check us out on socials. We had some fantastic feedback this week, Boddy.
Yeah, it's good. We had some feedback, but we'll talk about that another time.
Oh, good. Let's on you. Everyone, on. Have a great week. See you next time. So we did get some good feedback.
I got some feedback from my wife. She said that's the first time that she's listened to 2 Brad and Boddy podcasts in a week and found them entertaining.
Wow, I thought you were going to say it's the first time she's listened to you in years.